Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The greatest commandment, this is session 8. I've entitled it The Inalterable Assignment. So inalterable, it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed. This is the assignment no matter what else comes. What I want to kind of highlight as we start here in this session is this is the thing, this is the piece of life, this is the component of our lives that God cares most about. I just love knowing anything that's really important to God. This one tops the list. This is the single greatest thing that God cares the most about. And it actually relates to our life assignment. It actually relates far more to what do we do as, you know, human beings alive in this hour of human history. What does it mean to be human? How are we supposed to live our lives? I'll just give the joy of not having to wonder anymore. This today hopefully will help set some of you in place. You don't ever have to wonder again what the point of life is. You don't ever have to wonder again about what this season is about. You know, we just entered into a new year. It's very normal for us to kind of go, okay, God, what's 2021 supposed to be about? I can tell you with great confidence, I am confident I know what 2021 is supposed to be about for your life. It's supposed to be for you to grow in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I am positive. Now, there might be some supplementary things or some things related to or some contextualization of how to do that, but I promise you I know God's will for your life. This year, right now, this week, he wants you to grow in love for him. That's what he wants. This is actually very helpful because we're mostly confused about life. We're mostly trying to figure out, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be giving our time and attention to? And so as a result, we wind up unstable in much of what we do. Unstable in the way that we think. Unstable in the way that we live. And so our lives look shaky and unclear and without focus, without aim. I have great news for you. I know the will of God for your life. It's really simple. It is an assignment from heaven that never changes. It's an assignment that is you can take great confidence in. Now, God loudly declared it. So I'm going to give us the couple of references that are the clearest ones. The Bible is filled with references to loving God. But I'm just going to give us the couple of clearest ones. When God started the nation of Israel, that's Deuteronomy 6:5. And then when Jesus was asked straight up, Jesus, what's most important to God? Jesus answered this very thing. Deuteronomy 6:5, this is God starting the nation of Israel, telling them what's supposed to happen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the assignment from God for the nation. He just started a people. They're all trying to figure out, what does it mean now to be a people of God? What does it mean to belong to God? He says, oh, I got this. This is really simple. Love me. Then Jesus is asked, thousands of years later, he's like, ask the same thing. Now, this is the testimony from the one from heaven, okay? This is God in the flesh on the earth being asked the question, God, what's most important to God? And God the Son says, when he asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. I want us to be able to look at these verses over and over and over, because there are so many ways we can become distracted. There are so many ways we can wind up off course or confused. You know, I know these verses, and yet I am constantly tempted to be confused about what I'm supposed to be doing in this season of my life. I'm constantly struck with distractions and opportunities to go this way or that way. And yet, the assignment is so clear. The thing that God cares the most about, I'm just telling you right now, if you go through life and you never know what your, like, ministry is, You never figure out, am I in the right occupation? Is this like the career path God has for me? You never get the whole family thing situated just the way you wanted. You go all the way through life and you have all of that stuff and 10 more things, never make a lick of sense, but you're awesome at the greatest commandment. You will be perceived as great in the kingdom of heaven forever. Forever. You will have been successful. And by the way, there will be so many whose lives look altogether, who were not great at the greatest commandment, and their assessment of their life will not be that they lived greatly. The assessment of their life will not be a well done, good and faithful servant. The assessment of their life will not be of high esteem, because this is the assignment. If you're a human, this is the point. This is what it means to be on planet Earth and to know God. This is the point of life in this season of your life and the next and 100 from now. See, we so often, we think that our lives are about whatever the next 10, you know, days hold or 10 months. We're so focused on this here and now that we're trying to figure out and get our cues from God and sometimes from culture on about what we're supposed to be doing. And we wind up not doing the thing that is the most important and giving our attention to things that are so secondary, or they don't even show up on the list. They don't even matter. They don't even get the pleasure of God, ever. And yet we've been trying to figure out, what do we do with our lives? I want to tell you, there is an unalterable assignment from heaven for your life. And it's so simple. It is so clear. We are to be a people that grow in loving the Lord our God today, this season, 2021, and the seasons that come forward. That is the assignment. And we want to make sure that we, in all else that we do, we're doing that. That we're allowing life as it happens to us to help us do the assignment instead of trying to make life our assignment. Instead of trying to find our assignments and our identity and who we are, what we're supposed to be accomplishing. And, you know, I want to make big things and do big things. I want to, you know, make a big splash in this age, in this hour. I want my name to be great in my industry or in my pursuits or in my lineage. I want greatness. I will tell you how to get greatness. Pursue the greatest commandment as the focal point of your life, and you will be greatest. This is the purpose of God. This is the way that it goes. The assignment is clear. In all the routines of life, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In all the trials that hit us, I don't like trials, but I can tell you what God's purpose is for your life in the trial. It actually has nothing to do with the trial. His purpose for your life in the middle of that trial, that thing that's, it's painful, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the point. That's what you're supposed to be doing in the trial. When strange things happen, 2020 taught us strange things exist. Very strange things. Do you know what you're supposed to do in strange times? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. I'm telling you guys, it's unalterable. It doesn't matter what comes. Nothing changes this assignment. Nothing. This is good news if we just won't get distracted or confused. He called it greatest. I mean, like, that means it's greatest. That's pretty simple. This is the point of life. Now, in that hard time, in the good time, in the all time. The assignment's a good one. I mean, think about this. Like, what if the assignment was like, I don't know. I can't even think of anything right now. For me, it would be cooking. Cooking would be the worst. I hate cooking. Sometimes I look at the cereal and the milk and just go, it's not worth it. I'm just eating it dry. I mean, I'm like, I hate cooking. I don't like it. So for me, if the assignment from heaven was the greatest assignment is cook every day, I'd just be like, oh Jesus, it's over. I'm not going to make it. We got a good assignment here, folks. The unalterable assignment is all about the exchange of the deepest levels of pleasure. Can you get that? Like, love God, be loved by God, feel God's love, express love back to God. I mean, we could really be in a worse position. You know, the unalterable assignment is love. The thing that doesn't change, the commandment from God, is love. What? That's pretty good. That's a good assignment. Yeah, it's a great assignment. God knows you. He wired you. And he knows what would be a labor to you. And he knows what would be a joy to you. And he actually gave you the greatest assignment for you when you're thinking right. We all have times when we're not thinking so soberly. But when you're thinking soberly, this actually does make the most sense. This actually does seem like the best deal ever. So the thing that's the greatest is actually the thing you'll enjoy doing the most. And it's unchangeable no matter what. We have a good assignment. That's pretty awesome. The assignment's more beautiful than we can imagine. There's no end to the depths. It's so rich. The assignment is unlike anything else because it's not just love, it's love God who is infinite. So as we reach to love him and we get a little bit of a handle on loving him this way, loving this aspect of him, loving him in these situations, when we get a little bit of a grasp, we realize we've only touched the hem of a garment. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even touch him. Like it was like, I touched a thread that was wisping in the wind. It's like, there is so much to him. This is the best. This is our life. This is the assignment for your life. Don't be confused about what you're supposed to do this week. Don't be confused about 2021. This is the assignment. It's more beautiful than we can imagine. Look at Paul praying for Ephesus. Ephesians 3, 17 through 20. I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Paul's talking about the greatest commandment. Paul's saying, I pray that you've gone past having read the greatest commandment verse once. I pray that you're rooted in it. I pray that you're established in it. And I pray that from that position of rooted and established, which is a good level deeper than just read it once. He says, from that position, now I pray that you'd have power to know that love. Wait a minute, I was already rooted and established. Yeah, but I pray you go deeper. I pray you'd have power from God to know that love even deeper than you know that love. I pray that God would help you and would empower you to live the greatest commandment in the wildest ways imaginable so that you could be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. There are measures of the fullness of God. He says, I pray you'd be filled to the whole measure. I pray that you would get everything out of this life that it was intended for you to have, and it's related to loving God. I pray that you would be able to live full. You'd have the full measure. Notice Paul's not talking about, you know, if you get promoted in your jobs and then eventually, you know, start your own company, it becomes a multi-million dollar company. He's not talking about that. That's not the full measure of God's purpose for your life. Whether you have a job or don't have a job, you can do this. He's not talking about your ministry position. He's not talking about those desires in your heart, whether they occurred or they didn't occur, whether this happened or this. He says, I know your greatest commandment, people. He said, I know that you're already rooted and established in love, but I pray that you'd have more power from heaven, that you could go deeper so that you could experience the whole measure of the fullness of what God has for you, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power. Did you know that this verse, the immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, did you know that the context of it is the greatest commandment? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about growing in love. He's talking about God can do for you wild fantasies, knowing God and going deeper in the knowledge of God, in the fullness of his love. There are wild places in the Holy Spirit, in the love of God, that he can lead your heart. He can lead your emotions. There are places of freedom. There are pleasures in knowing God. He said, God can do immeasurably more. Whatever you're thinking, he can do more. It's not actually about getting more stuff. I like getting more stuff. That's not what this verse is actually about. This passage is actually about growing in the love of God in ways you didn't even think were possible. See, this is intriguing. This is an invitation into the depths of the knowledge of God. You can be bad at everything and dumb. You can have no smarts. You cannot be a smart person. You cannot be a strong person. You could be like so weak and weird. You can have so little going for you and be awesome at this and be better off than everybody. Because this is what life is about, is growing in the love for God and experiencing his love back. It's an inalterable assignment. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your context. It doesn't matter your job situation, your family situation. None of that matters. The inalterable assignment from heaven for your life is for you to grow in the love of God, both feeling his love and giving it back to him, which is his greatest commandment that he wants from you. He wants your love. Guys, this is unbelievable. This is what life is supposed to be about. I just want to, just a little tangent. I just want to talk about for a second how missing the point, how silly the idea that we're going to pray a prayer and get saved and now we're done. That's like going to Disney World and hanging out in the entryway, like where the welcome to Walt Disney World, and you just stand under it and just go, oh, this is so great. And you never leave from there. For days, you just camped out right under the Walt World word. Man, this is so great. It's like, what are you doing? You came all this way to hang out under the word Walt and take pictures? There's rides in there, man. There's Mickey Mouse waffles. You gotta get in there. Listen, I'm telling you right now, it is the most bizarre idea ever that we would talk about Christianity in terms of getting saved. That is bizarre. Like if that's the end of it, if that's even the point, that's not the point, that's the gate. That's the gate into Disney World. Now you can't touch Disney World unless you come through the gate, but the life is not about the gate. It's like, we gotta get them saved, man, we gotta be saved. Listen, that is the starting point of the relationship. It's the beginning point of love. It's where the assignment starts. It's where the journey begins. We want to call people to the journey of love. We want to invite people into an endless ocean of the knowledge of God and experiencing him and knowing him and loving him and feeling him and expressing love back. That's Christianity. The gate is the way into the park. The gate is not the park. The gate is the only way in. So yes, we must give our lives to Jesus, but it was give our lives to Jesus so we can really give our lives to Jesus. It was give our lives to Jesus so that we can experience him and know him and walk with him. That's what Christianity is. It's not coming to church. That's boring. That is so, I am bored to death with that idea that Christianity is about going to a building once a week. No, it's not. Hopefully the building helps provoke us for the journey. Hopefully being together or hearing a message provokes us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and mind and strength, because that's the point of your life. And if we're not doing that, we're missing everything. I don't mean you're missing out a little bit. I mean, you're going to stand before the Lord one day and he's just going to look at you and go, what did you do down there? What were you doing? What the world did you spend all those decades doing? Didn't I tell you what was the point? Yeah, but I got so distracted with stuff. I just see him scratching his head. It's like, hello, knowledge of God, Sapphire Sea forever. Like, the knowledge of God, experiencing God and loving God and growing in the love of God. And you had a career? Like, you made your life about your career? Oh my gosh. That's so sad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you made your life about something besides what you were made for. Well, let's not get there and hear any of that. And it wouldn't even need to be said. We just sense it, know it, feel it. We would feel it. Let's live our lives now like what he said is true. The greatest commandment for your life is for you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what this is supposed to be about. We got to keep it before us, though. Deuteronomy 7:9. I love this, not just this verse, but this concept. The people of God, they're being given the instructions about what it means to be a follower of God, what it looks like to be one that knows the Lord. And they're given this very interesting situation that told about how inalterable it is. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." This assignment isn't not going anywhere. Did you catch it? He says, his covenant of love. Who talks like that? God's covenant of love. Did you know that marriage is just a shadow? It's just a picture of the real love. It's just a shadow. It's not even real love. I mean, it's real love, but it's only a shadow of the real love. It is only just a glimpse of real love because God has made to us a covenant of love. And he says it's inalterable. He says, this goes on for generations, thousands, 1,000 generations. That's a long stinking time, okay? When people live for 80 years, 80,000 years. I mean, it's like this 1,000 generations. This is how God thinks. This assignment isn't going anywhere. And that is so beautiful and so helpful and so stabilizing for our lives. All right, well, no matter what comes, I like Solomon's take. So Solomon, we know, he's the wise guy. He's the guy that he tried everything. He made a lot of poor decisions. He experienced life from a place of no lack. He had every ability, and he went for it. He used his money and his prestige and his honor, and he touched everything. And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 3:1. He says, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun. I like Solomon's take. He goes, life is going to deal us different seasons. He says, there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for all different activities. He says, I've seen enough. I've lived enough. I've got enough wisdom to recognize life is going to deal us different seasons. But look what he says at the end of his life. Look what he says at the end of the storyline after he's touched it all, he's assessed it all, he's lived in all the different seasons, all the different pleasures. He says, you know what? I've got a final take on life. I've got some final thoughts about what life is really about. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now, all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Now, he just spent, 12 chapters describing all the different things in life that he's touched and that he understands. And he knew where he was going. I want you to understand that. It's not like he got to the end of Ecclesiastes and thought, how do I wrap this up? He started with this conclusion. This was where he was going. This was the point the whole time. The point the whole time was, I'm going to tell him all this stuff, and then I'm going to tell him what matters the most. All that has been heard, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And remember the greatest one? For this is the duty of all mankind. Sounds like an assignment. Let me tell you, after I've experienced everything, let me tell you what's most important. Fear God and keep his commandments. And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is what life is about. He says, I've touched it all. This is a reality to build our lives on. I'm thankful that we have the testimony from Solomon that did it all, touched it all, had all the money, had all the everything. And that his final assessment is like, you know what? I really probably spent a lot of my time and energy and money on some things that probably weren't a good idea. Let me tell you what the bottom line, this is what life is about. I'm grateful that we have that testimony. This inalterable assignment of loving the Lord our God with all our hearts and mind and strength, it's the only unbendable. It's the only thing in our lives that isn't shaken or taken. Everything else comes and goes. The seasons come and go. The situations come and go. Relationships come and go. There's so many things that are moving parts around in our lives. But this one thing, it's a healthy, stabilizing thing to build your life on. Especially in a young adult church, you got all these young adults trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to plant a family? How do I get married? And somebody marry me. I mean, it's like there's all these different things, in life and trying to figure out all these different situations and trying to figure out life and career. It's just such an early, can be very unstable footing. Let me tell you how you get your stability. Don't build your life on any of that. Build your life on the greatest commandment and you'll be okay. Furthermore, you'll attract to you the things that really should be attracted to you. You know, you want to magnetize, you want stuff to come be drawn to you, that's stuff that you really want, not stuff that you don't want. Pursue the greatest commandment. Let that be your life. Build your life on it. Guys, I'm telling you, don't treat this message as novel. Treat it as fact. Your assignment is to love God. Build your life around that assignment instead of sprinkling that assignment on your life that you've decided. Give up on your life. Yours is over. You died. You're a dead man or woman. You died on that cross with Jesus. This life is no longer yours. It's His. And here's what He wants to do with it. Everything. He wants to give you the depths of His heart and of His love. He wants to give you fullness in your life. But you've got to stop taking the wheel back. You've got to stop making your life, your decisions, your will, your desires. Stop all of that. Make your life and your focus to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learn how to be good at that. And if a few other things have to be kind of bad for a minute, get good at this. This is what matters. Make your life around this. You'll be so glad that you did. Joshua 22. This is Joshua. He's the new leader. He just took over from Moses. He's now going to lead the people in this next season. And this is what he says. They're about to experience the greatest promotion. They're about to get their land. They're about to get all the promises. It's about to get really, really good for this people, for this group of people. And this is what he says. Be very careful to keep the commandment and the law of that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. What commandment? To keep the commandment. What commandment? To love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua says, you need to make a point to keep the commandment before you, because life will deal you many diversions, many distractions. Life will deal you many fits. Life will deal you many opportunities. He says, you got to keep this in front of you. It's not enough for you to commit to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You got to figure out how to keep it in front of you. He says, keep this command in front of you. Keep it. Which one? Oh, you know, to love the Lord your God. You see, Joshua got it. Joshua was the greatest commandment guy. I mean, he just became leader of the nation. And this is now, he's going, okay, now let me just tell you how it's going to be under my watch. All right. I'm in charge now. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep the commandment. Do you see that? He called it the commandment, the command. We're going to keep it in front of us to love the Lord our God. We got to do it. I want to charge us to keep it in front of us, because distractions, good and bad, will steal it from you. And you will look back after 2, 3, 5 years and go, I was doing it in my 20s. But I'm not doing it anymore. Now I'm in my 30s. Now I'm in my 40s. I've got all these different options and opportunities and experiences. I've got the language. I still talk about it. I still reference it. But I'm not living it. I got to keep it in front of me. I got to keep the command to love God with all my heart. I got to keep it in front of me. This season, next season, this year, this promotion, this car accident, I got to keep it in front of me to love the Lord my God. You got to keep it. That's a good word. That's a good one for your wall or a t-shirt or something. Joshua 22, right there. You want to keep it. You want to keep it, because it's one thing to hear it and say yes once. It's even another thing to say yes for a season. And a season could be a year or 10. But do you keep it? And I'll just tell you, as life continues to build and as 2021 continues to unfold, you are going to need to focus on keeping it in front of you, or you will lose your way. I love you enough to tell you, you will not keep this commandment easily. You will not keep it in front of you effortlessly. I would rather you walk out of here with a little bit of the fear of the Lord going, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. That's better than, I got this. We're good. I got this. We're good. You're going to be so distraught a minute down the road, 5 years, a year, whatever. You're going to look back and go, yeah, I guess I really probably should have put more attention in how to keep it in front of me. There are the routines of life. We've got to learn how to make loving the Lord our God in the routines of life, or we're never going to be okay when things get unstable. The mundane. Do you know most of your life is just boring? Most of your life is just same old, same old. It just looks like yesterday. No big cool thing, no tragic, you know, emergency. It's just normal, it's just mundane. We got to be excellent at keeping the greatest commandment in the mundane, because that's when it's actually the easiest. I'm going to say that again. It's easiest to keep the greatest commandment when nothing else is going on. Nothing big, good or bad, where it's just steady, because you can build it into the routines of your life. You can build in things that help your heart reach in the routines and the mundane of life. And we won't do so well with the ups and the downs if we can't do good in the steady. You need to build some routines. I love you enough to tell you, you must build some routines in your life that help you intentionally reach for the love of God. You've got to. You have to. You cannot be, you'll be unstable without the routines. Because most of your lives look pretty similar day to day, week to week. I mean, in the general sense. You know, where do you sleep? What time do you go to bed? I mean, there's a lot of those things that are kind of normally similar in the course of a week or a month. You want to build into those routines the predictability of life and your schedule. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30. They were to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord. Every morning, routine. What to do? Thank and praise the Lord. Engage him. They were to do the same thing in the evening. Oh, okay, so not just the morning, but in the evening. They were to serve before the Lord regularly in the proper number and in the way prescribed for them. There is beauty in clear, assigned times, places, and things. There is beauty in that. I mean, if it's a good thing, if it's a smart thing, if it's a time that works for your schedule, there's beauty in that. We don't want to be distracted by the only way for life to be good is I'm always on an adventure. Adventure will kill you. You can have an adventure here and there, but if you live for adventure, you will greatly miss out on the greatest commandment. You need to build stability in your life related to the greatest commandment, because remember, it's greatest. Adventure and promotion and all these things, let the Lord do those things. Don't pursue them. Don't make those things happen in your life. Make the greatest commandment happen in your life. Make that one happen. And the things that help facilitate the greatest commandment, make them happen. Keep it before you. Fight to make those things real. Daniel went home. This is Daniel 6:10. And in his upper room, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before the Lord his God, as was his custom since his early days. Routines. This is the day, by the way, that he was told, if you pray, you're going to die. We'll kill you. And he's like, well, I'm just going to do what I do. I've been doing it for a long time. I pray 3 times a day. Not so that people will think I'm holy. I do it because I want to live a greatest commandment lifestyle. I want to have 3 times a day that I reconnect with the Lord. He wasn't doing this to be a pious person. He was doing this because he understood the relationship. You understand that? Get rid of live religiously so people will think you're awesome. That will destroy you. Live instead for the eyes of one. And now the thing that the other person's doing for the sake of religion, you would do for the sake of relationship, and it would look the exact same. But your motive is completely different. You would be doing it because you want to grow in the love of God. Daniel, 3 times a day. See, he had some routines. These routines were fueling the love for God. These weren't religious duties for him. That's not what that testimony is giving us. This is like, well, I love God, so you tell me I can't pray? Go ahead and kill me. I'm going to be great at the greatest commandment. So if today's the day I check out, I die. But I'm going to do what I do because I've got a good thing going. I spend time 3 times a day going before God to touch him and feel him and pray and feel his presence and get in the word. I do it 3 times a day. Sorry, friends, you can't stop it. Just go ahead and kill me. It'll be fine. See, there's wisdom in the routines of the mundane. And if we can't build those routines when it's mundane, then when the trial comes, we will not respond well. See, Daniel just did what he did because he'd been doing it. Turn to God when new stuff comes. I want to tell you, new stuff is both exciting and, if you're not careful, a trap for your heart. New stuff, good or bad, new stuff. It's exciting because it's different. And there's a piece of us, even those that hate change, there's a piece of us that's kind of like, oh, change. Kind of exhilarating. It stirs up a lot of emotions. Let's say it that way. When new stuff happens, turn to God immediately. Turn to God. Talk to him about the new stuff. Immediately. Instead of the new stuff catching all of your attention, all of your mind, and all of your heart, which you're supposed to be worshiping him. Instead of the new thing captivating you and stealing you, take that new thing and direct it right back to God immediately. New thing. God, here's a new thing. What about this new thing? Dialogue with him about the new thing. Good thing, bad thing. Doesn't matter. Dialogue with him so that it doesn't steal your attention. Because it will. Because it's new. And you don't have it figured out yet. So you got these other things figured out so that you're not thinking about them. Because you know how to do them. But the new thing just came. Good or bad. It will steal your heart's attention. It will steal your mind's attention. Unless you turn it over to the Lord immediately. When things are seriously good, you got to turn your attention to God. When things are seriously bad, turn your attention to God. Every time, turn our attention to the Lord. See, that's what keeping it in front of us is. Oh, I just got this really cool thing. Yeah, but I don't want that to be my life. I mean, that is a really cool thing I just got. It's really cool. But that's not my assignment. My assignment's love God. So God, help me love you with the thing you just gave me. Help me love you with the thing you just took. Help me love you. Help me love you. That's what we need to be keeping in front of us. Help me love you. Help me love you on a Tuesday. Help me love you in a situation. Help me love you in this brokenness. Help me love you when it's good. Help me love you. Keep it before me. Keep it before me. I'll just tell you, if you can start to train yourself, every time anything happens, you just turn to God. If you can train yourself, help me. How do you see it? What do you think? You can keep it before you. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Doesn't that just sound like an intimate moment, like an encounter with the Lord? He said, blessed. You'll be blessed if you build into your routines daily. You come wait on me. You watch for me. You talk to me daily. And if you can figure out how to Daniel daily and go 3 times a day, that's even better. If you can figure out how to do it 72 times a day, call me. Tell me what you're doing. It says daily. It says there's wisdom in the daily because it only takes 24 hours for you to wind up off course. I mean, I hate that. I really wish I was stronger. I really wish I wasn't so weak and easily distracted. Squirrel, I wish. But it takes one day. Dang it. So weak. Oh, simpleton. Give the microphone to a simpleton. But I am. But a daily routines to aim my heart at God, to try to hear him and try to feel him, try to tell him I love him, try to ask for help to love him. Daily routines. It says you'll be blessed. There's blessings that rest on it, those that watch and wait daily for the Lord. I want to be good at this. And I want to run with a people that are good at this. I mean, my motivation for this series is half selfish. Because if you're all really great at it and you just embarrass the heck out of me with how much you love God, it makes me want to love God more. I want to be provoked by you, and I want to provoke you. Not so that we live religiously and we can provoke one another as though that has some power in itself. The provoking is unto the greatest commandment. I want to live a life that's really about this, and to encourage you to live a life that's really about this, because here's the deal. This assignment is inalterable. No matter what season of life you're in, I can tell you with great clarity what the point of your life is supposed to be and what the purpose, what the main assignment, the primary assignment. We need to start thinking it this way. You have secondary assignments, and that's awesome. But those secondary assignments are not number one. They're number two or number 10. Number one never changes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the greatest commandment.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.